Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me to come along and talk about the usage factor. Before I even begin to start, I'd like to pay particular tribute at the beginning of this presentation to Peter Shepherd, who's in the audience, and Hazel Woodward, who I think is around. The three of us together have been working for the last 6 to 8 months on actually getting the usage factor to the next stage. So, press the right button would be a good place to start. There we go. So why usage-based? Why more metrics? I think everybody is sometimes feels like they're drowning in metrics, so why are we doing another one? I'm going to talk a little bit about the thinking behind the usage factor today, how that compares to the impact factor, and why an extra metric is going to be useful, we hope will be useful in the field. A little bit of background to the research that we've done so far, and then focusing going forward on what next. So first of all, I should apologize. I've had a very bad cold. So if I start to croak halfway through, you'll have to forgive me. So usage-based metrics. We now have pretty much all journals are online and have been online reliably for some time. And Counter, as we saw last night, is now only 10 years old. I was actually surprised that it was only 10 years old. But Counter now has a very well-established and well-respected position in the market. It's reliable data, and data we can now use to start thinking about how to take the next step in actually measuring individual journals and their usage. We believe this is going to be a complement to the impact factor. Impact factor based on citation data is obviously extremely well-known, very valid measure of usage, looking at journals and comparing journals. And I know that many authors use the impact factor as a measure of deciding where to publish, and librarians, I'm sure you're all very familiar, use the impact factor, again, to compare journals across the disciplines. So it is widely used, but I think everyone has, to some degree or another, some misgivings about using the impact factor as the only measure. It is not as widely applicable across all the disciplines as it might be. And now that, as I mentioned, now that we have counter-compliant usage, we have the opportunity to go further and to develop a new metric. Impact factors, first of all, I would obviously must recognize are valid, well-used, difficult to defraud. They are... They're metrics that are accepted by the industry right across the board. They're endorsed by funding agencies. Many funding agencies set impact factor thresholds, and they are simple and easy to use. Of course, one of the other major benefits is that somebody does all the work in actually collating and curating the impact factors and publishing those to the market. And in that sense, they are independent. They have no particular axe to grind. They are global. Thomson ISI have spent quite a lot of time in the last few years really trying to extend journals covered by the impact factor to non-Western-based journals. And obviously, journals can be compared across a discipline. We now have a very deep body of knowledge of impact factors, and I don't think there is any attempt in any way to try and replace the impact factor. But of course, the faults are known. Many of the most US-based journals are covered in some way or another by Thomson ISI, but non-English language journals are much less well covered. It is undoubtedly optimized for the hard sciences. Excuse me. It can go up and down with particularly highly cited journals, and of course it can be manipulated. Thomson ISI do work to try and take journals out of their ranking if they see too much of self-citation. But there are other ways that, of course, editors try to game the system, some legitimately, some maybe not so legitimate in the way that they're done. Impact factor, because it really is the only metric out there, is very overused, can be misused. And I think many people feel that the actual formula itself, as a two-year window, is flawed. We're going to talk a bit later on about wanting for the usage factor to actually publish some kind of metrics to see how accurate the number is. Of course, the impact factor doesn't do that, but it isn't as accurate, perhaps, as it might be. The other thing that I think is particularly interesting with impact factors is that they are not so relevant for journals that are practitioner journals. We were just talking earlier about the medical field, and particularly in nursing. Many publications like that, particularly in nursing, the content is used, well used, and extremely valuable for the audience that it's designed for. But it is not, in fact, particularly highly cited, or in fact, even cited that much at all. There are some areas of the social sciences. There's one particular discipline I know I spent some time publishing in political science, where the entire field of political theory is fairly narrow. Individual researchers are very much individual contributors. They work on their own. They work on their own theories. They frankly don't really see the point of citing anybody else's work because this is their work. And so therefore, within the breadth of political science, the entire discipline falls down because the content is not being cited. And it just shows that there are some fields where impact factors and citations are not as relevant, and it's not as straightforward to compare titles from title to title. The other thing that is also important is impact factor is not available immediately, and it's not immediately current. Impact factor is over a year past by the time it's actually published. Having said that, of course, impact factors will continue to be strong going forward. So the usage factor is intended to be very much an additional metric, something else that can be compared as a different way of looking at particularly some of these journals that are not covered by ISI. It will be available basically for any journal where the publisher actually is counter-compliant and is able and willing to compile the data and produce the numbers. It will be available and applicable to all disciplines. There is no need to focus on just a specific number of disciplines. Again, any publisher who is prepared to produce usage factors can produce usage factors across all of their titles. It will much better reflect these practitioner journals where the usage of the content is really the whole key behind the publication itself. And of course, it will be available immediately. Usage factors will be able to be analyzed for the immediate past period and will be able to be published straight away. What we're hoping is that the usage factor, and certainly the feedback we've had from the early stages of the usage factor project, is that it will be seen as a complement to the impact factor. So who's going to benefit from this? Authors definitely in these practitioner-oriented fields, such as nursing, political theory even, where content is, the usage of the content is probably a more meaningful measure of the value or the quality of that content. Publishers will be able to choose across all of their journals and will be able to create usage factors for all of their titles. And librarians will now have a different metric to weigh against the impact factor. We also believe that research funding agencies will similarly be able to look at different fields and be able to then compare usage factors and impact factors side by side. So what are we aiming to do in the project? The overall aim is to see if we can actually create a number, a statistically significant number, that will be able to measure and compare journals from journal to journal. We had some very specific questions we wanted to answer in the last phase of the project. Can we create a statistically meaningful number? Is it possible for that number to be robust enough and measurable enough? Will it be an accepted number by the field? Will researchers, publishers, librarians actually accept this? interesting. I presented at a small meeting in Washington last week, and the academic panel there were fairly negative, I have to say, about the idea of usage factors. Having said that, they were all in basic sciences and physics, where impact factors are really all that they need to know. So I think it, depending on the field you look at, I think usage factor will be more or less interesting for the actual academic field itself. Can we make this number trusted? Can we make it reliable enough? Can we actually demonstrate to the field that gaming of this system can be identified and can be pulled out of the numbers? And can we set up an infrastructure to publish these numbers in a way that allows people to use them systematically? The project has been going for some time now, since 2007, it's carried out a number of stages. The first stage of market research continued through 2008. Stage two was detailed analysis, which went through 2011, and we are just at the beginning of stage three. So stage one was really trying to understand whether this metric was going to be acceptable in the audience. We talked to a wide range of authors, editors, librarians, publishers, surveying at different levels. And the general feel from the market there was that, yes, this is something that would be of interest. Stage two was detailed analysis. And I think John Cox is here. He did a certain amount of the work on stage two. This was led, I think Richard Getty is also here, was led by him, by Peter and by Hazel, and many members of UKSG were involved in this stage of the project. Cyber then took a lot of data from these participating publishers, ACS, Emerald, again looking at different subject areas so that we could see how relevant these numbers were going to be. So the data itself, we looked across 326 journals, and we again picked out some of these disciplines, business and management, clinical medicine, where we felt that the usage factor would be of particular interest. The deep log analysis was were taken from over 150,000 articles, and Cyber was able to calculate the usage factor in under a number of different ways of doing things, and then comparing statistics across a number of different areas. The Cyber report is available on the Counter website, and if you're interested in understanding how the metric works, I would certainly recommend you go and look at the detailed Cyber report. But I'm just going to summarize for you here some of the ways that the metric, the usage factor itself, is now envisaged to work. I think this first point is probably the most important finding that came out of this stage two of the project. To make this a really robust and trusted number, the usage factor is going to be the median of usage over a two-year period. And the reason why the median is used is the arithmetic mean is able to be skewed very much more by both low use articles and particularly high use articles. And so the median is much, much less likely to be impacted by gaming in any way. It's a very, very significant finding, and I think it's one that is going to make this a much more usable number than might have been if we'd taken a simple arithmetic mean. The second point I think is also interesting is that we are able to look at usage factors across a number of different ways of analyzing and dicing and slicing an individual journal. Just how many usage factors there will be for each title, I think, is something that we'll need to investigate as we go through the next part of the project. But at the very least, we envisage one usage factor for the entire title, but also then to be able to pull out perhaps news, perhaps the review articles, the core research articles and have be able to look at the usage factor of each of those different elements to see how they contribute to the usage factor of the whole. The usage factor is going to be a single number. It's going to be a large enough number that no decimal place will be needed. And monthly patterns, as we have been able to see, are quite volatile. So there will be one single number that will be a number across an entire two-year period. We do want to publish confidence levels. It's interesting that looking at the impact factor, again, as the article there has been able to look at, there are statistical significance factors within the usage, the impact factor. And we actually want to publish the usage factor confidence levels so that people can understand just how they relate from title to title. And one thing that's, I think, coming onto on a later slide is that the very small numbers we consider are not statistically significant enough, so very small journals will not be included. We looked at a wide range of different time periods. And this is something that, again, for different disciplines, the usage of content over a different time period varies enormously. In the hard sciences, there is an enormous spike in the first 6 months. For social sciences, the spike tends to be much longer. But despite that, across a wide range of disciplines that we looked at, 24 months is the window that captures the most usage, the most statistically significant usage across all disciplines. We'd like to test over the next few months whether or not it's worth looking at 12 months, 6 months, and whether that tells us anything more specifically about different disciplines. But to start with, we're going to look at a 12-month window. What's interesting here is, where do you start the 12 months? So as we've gone through this process, we start with a proposition, 24 months. And then you start to dig into the details. So when does 24 months start? For a journal where the articles are posted as accepted manuscripts, unedited, and they go straight online, does the clock start then? Or does the clock start when an online first article goes online? Or does the clock start when the article then goes into the issue? And does it matter? And I think that last question is something that we want to answer through the next phase of the project. Does it matter? Do we let publishers decide when the clock starts? There will always be a strict 24 months, so that's something that can't be varied. But does it matter whether the publisher decides for a particular title when their 24 months starts for each individual qualifying article. As it mentions here, we don't intend to go any further than 24 months, and we are going to look perhaps at a 12-month window at some point as we go through the project. The usage factor is clearly not comparable between different disciplines. Different disciplines work very, very differently. And therefore, we do believe that it is appropriate to collate usage factors and compare them discipline by discipline. I mentioned again that we are looking at this two-year window. I think the other thing that is inevitably going to happen is that publishers will compare titles across, or librarians will want to compare titles from perhaps different publishers across similar disciplines. And therefore, we believe it's important that there is a central place where the different usage factors are compared and ranked, so that there can be some certainty within the market that if you're using a ranked list of titles, that those have been validated in some way. And in this case, we believe by Counter, it's much more appropriate that those titles are pulled together, compared and published. As I mentioned earlier, we also feel that small titles, titles with less than 100 downloads, They're not really suitable candidates. The numbers that come out of them are not reliable enough. They're not really clearly comparable or statistically significant. And therefore, small titles with low downloads will be excluded from the calculation. It's going to be very important as we go through this project and we start to perhaps publish ranked list of titles that we are very, very clear in all our communications that this is not the impact factor. This is not a substitute for the impact factor, cannot be directly compared to the impact factor, and indeed is not, as the analysis has shown, is not actually even statistically correlated with the impact factor. The last point on here is probably the most important point. How do we ensure that the system cannot be, or at least if it is gamed, we can detect it? Of course, it would be nice to think that in the entire industry, all authors, all publishers, all editors would not try to game the system. But of course, they will do. Everybody knows that at some point, people will try to artificially increase their usage. And I think this is where the robustness of the counter statistics comes in. Because you can imagine an individual author, perhaps, will get all their friends to press for one article to get one article downloaded. Well, the median will take care of that. If somebody manages to get one article very highly used for in some artificial way, that will be taken care of in the calculation of the original usage factor. So the area where it's going to be the most difficult to pick up is any kind of a systematic robot type of usage. And this is exactly what Counter filters out of the numbers. And therefore, it's really only Counter statistics will be able to be used in the usage factor, because then we can be absolutely sure that they are reliable and can be trusted, and as well can be audited, because an important part of the usage factor is that we will be auditing publishers who claim to have usage factors so that we can be sure that those are robust and reliable. One of the things that we're interested in doing through the next phase of the project is get people involved with us in trying to think up different gaming scenarios. So if you have any bright academics out there who would like to try and see if they can break our system, we would really like to hear from them. We've had a go at thinking up some of the obvious scenarios, but I'm not sure we're devious enough yet to have come up with everything that people could think of. So if you have anybody who would like to work with us, we'd be very keen to hear from you. And as we go through the process, we do think that it would be interesting to look at different ways of calculating and reviewing usage factors as we go forward. But to start with, we want to make it simple. It's already going to be complicated enough that you will have a usage factor for a title, for different types of content within a title, and we want to start by something that is fairly straightforward that we can all use and learn to trust. We need to do some work on the infrastructure, and again, this is part of stage three of the project. Stage three has a number of different elements. We want to actually calculate some some usage factors. This is going to be an easy slip as we go forward. We need to work with publishers and with publishing vendors to understand how we can extract the data. It's not as simple a task as you would think, because journals are found on a number of different areas. And in an ideal world, we want a usage factor to collate the usage from, for example, an aggregator site, as well as a primary journal site, and ideally from PubMed Central as well. If that's going to be possible, it'll be interesting to see how we can collate those numbers and whether we can make that meaningful. So the actual extraction and collation of the data is going to be initially manual, but if we're going to make this robust going forward, we're going to have to be able to in some way automate this system. We need to work on agreed nomenclature for how we dice and slice different content types. In every different discipline, different content types have different names. And whether something's called news, news review, book reviews, any kind of different types of content there are out there, we need to create some kind of standards. And I'm sure there will need to be some way of being able to talk with publishers and with editors about how we do that. I realize, I'm sorry, I've gone over time, so I will whiz through the rest of this in a little more speed. Stage three, the draft code of practice is now on the Counter website, along with, and a quick plug for the Counter for code of practice, which will be up on the website next week. We will be going through the testing and the calculation over the next probably 12 months period to see how we can create these usage factors, how we can use a taxonomy to compare usage factors across different disciplines. As I mentioned, the draft code of practice containing all the elements that you would normally expect to see in a good counter draft code of practice are up on the website. And we have an organization, I think that's rather small there, but as you can, hopefully you can see, or you'll be able to see in the slides later on the website, we have a wide range of different people from librarians, publishers, represented on our advisory board. My co-chair, Hazel Woodward, is also here at the conference, along with Peter Shepherd, who's been working very closely with us, who can answer any of your questions. So our last thank you to our sponsor, of course, the most important sponsor, UKSG, along with RIN. So thank you very much.
We can take a couple of very quick questions, if there are any. Would you like to put your hand up if you have a question? That's okay. Any questions? Oh, over there, Colin. Colin, if you go to number four, there's a microphone there already.
Is this working?
Yes. It's working.
It's Colin Meddings, OUP. I applaud anything to get extra metrics into judging value of articles and journals, but my question is really around, in developing another metric that looks at the journal as a whole entity, I'll be perhaps forgetting that maybe journals publishers actually moving into an article-based economy and environment where people are really looking to get values around individual articles rather than whole journals.
I think the first step in the analysis is to try and break it down into research articles, review articles, etc. I think that's the first step. I can imagine that as we go forward with this and we get more confidence with the numbers, that we could break it down into an individual article usage factor as well. But I think that's, at the moment, that's a step too far. But I can imagine that coming in the future.
Any other, one last quick question?
One over there.
Sorry. All right. The gentleman over there.
Thank you for a nice talk. I'm Kenji Kato from Japan. I'm director of university library. And I'm a scientist, and I'm not very familiar to this field. And I do think usage factor will enlighten another aspect of academic activity in future. So my question is, if you have some idea how to develop usage factor, under the condition where so impact factor prevails in academic community. You have some idea how to develop.
So a usage factor for individual, for an individual researcher. Was that your question?
Yeah. So if you have some idea to develop to the world.
I think we would be very interested in talking with you about how you imagine that might work. I think we can all see there are opportunities for expanding usage factor in different areas, creating a usage factor for an individual could be a very interesting project.
at this stage, we're taking ourselves step at a time. We want to get the usage factor into the market, robust, reliable, and trusted. And then I think once we get comfortable with the data and analyzing the data, it will be very interesting to see how we can dice it and slice it in different ways. So do please talk to us afterwards.
Thank you.